Welcome back. It's your favorite radio show. It's the Kaufman Show right here on TSN 690 in beautiful Montreal. I'm Dave. Got Jay right across from me.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Good. Just adjusting my microphone here.
Well, you know, there's a 2.5 minute song where that could be done, right?
Yes, I know, but I'm saying stupid things on Facebook, so come on.
One of us has to.
Yeah, there's time.
Fair enough.
There's a time and a place to adjust the microphone, Dave.
There is. It's
Stop yelling. Why are you yelling at me?
I'm relaxed, Joe. I'm relaxed.
I'm okay.
This
I'm
isn't right. last night. This isn't the 6-1 shellacking.
No.
I don't get upset when the Leafs lose, even though it looked like a synagogue in there.
It looked like a
I'm not one of the faithful Daveners. Got that, did
Apparently,
you?
everybody... Everybody at the game tonight has been bar mitzvahed. This is clear.
Scotiabank gave out these towels for the Leafs game tonight.
Not Scotiabank, Air Canada Center.
Yeah, no, but the sponsor for the scarves was Scotiabank.
Oh, okay.
There was a little. You could see the Scotiabank lettering logo on.
I see. Okay.
But other than that, it was a blue and white. It looked like a tallis.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever been to a synagogue has seen that before.
Right.
And frankly, I haven't set foot in a synagogue in a very long time, but. That brought me right back, man. There were some serious flashbacks going on.
I went to a tremendous amount of bar mitzvahs when I turned 13 years old.
Well, you're from Laval.
Yeah, I was. Grew up in Chamonix, and my Jewish friends would just say, "Listen, don't go." If people ask you, just say you haven't been bar mitzvahed yet. Don't go through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's going to lead to some sort of a ridiculous
conversation? No, they just told me how to answer because I was 12 or 13 and I didn't know.
Now let's convert the boy.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't know. That seems absolutely insane to me.
Yeah.
That you should just say, oh, I haven't been bar mitzvahed yet.
I don't know. It was really, I don't know what it was. Conservative thing. I don't know.
Well, there are kids in Toronto right now celebrating their bar mitzvahs this year who are 13 years old and get the taste of playoff hockey.
Yeah.
Whereas there are kids in Toronto who are 22 who were bar mitzvahed 9 years ago and are first getting their taste of playoff hockey.
You see that stuff in Maple Leaf Square. They score a goal.
So many people, man.
Confetti. There was confetti spraying on the crowd when they scored the goal.
Like someone dropped from the top of the Air Canada Center? Or
no, they had like, I guess they had confetti guns in the crowd.
You're kidding.
And they were throwing off confetti when they scored. By the time Boston answered right back.
Yeah,
the confetti
scored, 50 seconds later.
Yeah, the confetti hadn't even hit the ground yet. And Boston had already scored.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Jeez.
I want to say.
Well, I mean, it's been.
I want to
nine
say poor
years.
Toronto, but I don't really feel that. I don't. Between the Leafs and the Bruins, it's sort of 6-1, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't care. I don't care either way. You know, either.
Well, it's the same thing that they're hoping for out of the Montreal Ottawa series. They want it to go 7 games and
right.
to beat the crap out of each other.
Right, but when you're spraying confetti
on the
when
first
you score
goal,
a goal in Game 3 of the first round. It is humorous to me and entertaining.
That goal made the score, what, 1-1, right? And then Boston responded?
Yes, Boston responded within 50 seconds.
But not even an overtime goal. Like, I used to question, and I still do, I guess, when I watch a ball game and someone hits a home run and fireworks go off. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's May.
Yeah. I mean,
and your team's losing 9-3. What's
yeah,
going on
and
here?
And you're in fifth place.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. No. I don't know. Relax.
I mean, it's...
Relax.
It's a big conspiracy, Jay.
It
the
is.
The fireworks industry. It's the confetti people.
Yeah.
It's the confetti Illuminati.
Moving their way in. Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah. Confetti. Blue and white confetti.
They control everything.
Mm-hmm.
You saw them tonight with all their scarves.
Yeah. Especially the guys in the suits in the front row wearing those scarves. It did look like a bar mitzvah.
I will give credit to the Toronto fans and the Platinums tonight. They seem to show up, at least in the first period.
Yeah.
A little slow coming out of the gate in the second period, but, I mean, the drinks do flow pretty freely down there in
yes.
the intermissions.
Yes, and Leafs fans were doing best to embarrass themselves. Every time they get on the big screen, somebody would throw up a middle finger. Somebody had a sign that said, Toronto stronger.
Honestly, that is the most tasteless thing I saw on Twitter tonight.
Yeah.
It was in the same lettering,
awful.
The same font as the Toronto
Yeah, it even
Strong.
Had the ribbon. It had a picture
right.
of the ribbon, but a
Sorry,
blue and
the
white.
Sorry, it's the Boston Strong,
yeah,
the Toronto
that's right.
Stronger. Wow, just so classless.
Yeah. Weird. Weird stuff.
Just classless. It's like when you see, I've seen idiots at Habs games in blackface.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm not saying we're any better.
No, I'm just saying
that today was bad.
Every fan base has idiots.
With Subban jerseys on and blackface. Awesome.
Every fan base has idiots. I don't know how to put it any better than that.
No, just
sheer idiots. There are smart people in this world, and there are dumb people in this world.
Yeah.
You're all welcome to call into our show. We've got some great guests tonight. We've got Gary Galley coming up.
Gary Galley.
From Hockey Night in Canada.
And former NHL defenseman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to Gary about Game 3. See what his thoughts were on the Battle of the Coaches.
It's weird how that has become the narrative.
Yeah, I tweeted earlier.
Not that the Habs played like garbage.
Yeah.
It's the coaches. It's this chess match.
When Boston went up 4-1 tonight, I said Claude Julien should call a timeout, you know, just for fun.
That's good. We'll also speak with Mike Spry from the Barnstormer. Mike was on MTV last week. I think this is going to be a semi-regular thing for him, along with another friend of the Kaufman Show, Dave McGimsey. Pretty cool. And also Torben Rolfsson, Van Guy, back for more.
See what he's got tonight.
Jimmy, you brought the drums?
Yeah.
All right.
Jimmy's hard to impress.
He is. I got more laughs last week, which is scary. I'm not supposed to be the funny one. I'm the straight guy.
You got the drum beat last week. Good for you.
This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
Love is blindness. I want to see what you wrap the night around me. Yeah. Oh, love is blindness. Get a little death.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show coming in on a little Bedini Band, the Ladies of Montreal. Yes, Jay, I see the mind turning.
A lot of ladies out this week.
Summertime.
With the great weather.
Summertime.
I mean, the ladies didn't go anywhere, but there's more of them to see now. So I love summer. Love summer in this city.
It's great to be back in the parks and, yes.
Yeah.
The Ladies of Montreal.
We'll leave it there.
We will.
Hey. If it did that trick, but oh man, you can't. So get over it. Yeah, the ladies of Montreal.
Well, some of us can cheer for the Habs. Some of us have to keep that journalism professionalism kick going. But I think we're okay. We're allowed to show our allegiances every once in a while. This
local
is the home
radio.
Of the Habs.
Local radio.
If you do the games for Hockey Night in Canada, it's a little bit of a different story. Although, you know, also working for the Ottawa radio station, I think maybe that's where Gary Galley's alliances would be. But we don't see that at all in our in watching HNIC. Gary Galley is the color commentator, sits with Bob Cole in the booth, and has been bringing us all the action during this first round series between the Habs and the Sens. Gary Galley, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. How are you guys tonight?
We're good. Thanks for staying up late. We appreciate it.
Well, the games are on late, so you get used to it through the playoffs.
Do you have the overtime on right now? Anaheim and Detroit are tied at 2 with about 5 minutes left in the first overtime.
Yeah, 5:29, and it's been a solid game. I actually watched the Toronto game tonight and then just flipped over to catch the end of the Washington game, and then now on to Anaheim-Detroit. So it's that time of year, you know. It seems like there's never a bad game. There doesn't seem to be too often where you can't get some excitement right almost to the end.
Well, the one that you've been concentrating on the most, and as of we, has been the Habs and the Sens. And after two decades, do you think that there's finally a real rivalry between the clubs?
I think so. I think it all happened with a guy by the name of Eric Greiba, You know, it usually didn't take much. And I think this series, you know, was starting to, when you look at game one, you know, the start of the series, they're both teams are throwing roses at one another, telling each other how great they are. And, you know, and they got Carlson and then Subban. They got these young rookies that are great. Ottawa's got these, and then it's back and forth. And then Price and Anderson. And I think the hit by Eric Greiba, as Detroit just won that game, guys.
Yes, they did. Look at that.
The hit from Eric Greiba changed everything. The venom came out, in, you know, instantaneously, of course. And it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, whether you think the hit was legal or not legal. It really jet-setted this series. This is like a two teams that have met, you know, every year for the last 10 years now, and they're playing like it. And, right now, Ottawa has got the 2-1 edge, but there's a lot of minutes to be played.
How is it that we've gone, basically 24 hours plus since just an abysmal game by the Montreal Canadiens, and the narrative is about the coaches, not about what's going on the ice?
Well, for Montreal, I think if it's, you know, that's a nice deflection because, you know, that game was 3-1 and, you know, Brian Gionta and Galchenyuk both had great opportunities, and Craig Anderson made both saves on those two guys to keep the score where it was, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ottawa gets that fourth goal, and that's where the proverbial hit the fan. But you know, if Gionta, you know, even scores at that one where the turnover from Alfredson happens, and he scores there, now it's 3-2 with a lot of time left on the clock, so the game, you know, it wasn't really a 6-1 game where the score, you know, ended up. It was a lot, I think, closer than that. It was the first time, I think, the Senators started the game, you know, ready to play. You know, games 1 and 2, I mean, they were outshot, you know, miserably in the first 7-8 minutes of both those hockey games and struggled to get their feet on the ground, whereas in game 3, you know, the game went back and forth. It was some of the better hitting I'd seen in a playoff game in a long time, where I think in one shift there was like 6 or 7 rock'em sock'em hits in one shift, and I expect to see the same thing when game 4 hits tomorrow night.
We're in conversation with Hockey Night in Canada's Gary Galley on the Kaufman Show. Gary, when you're on the losing end of a game like that, how do you shrug it off, especially in the playoffs?
Well, you let it go, and you have to let it go, because losing 6-1, losing 1-0, it only is a loss, and you have to understand that it only counts as one loss. And right now, the series is at 2-1, and is up for grabs. The series is still up for grabs. If you carry the weight shackled to your ankles into Game 4, what's happened in Game 3, then I think that's when you're in deep trouble if you're Montreal. There's a lot that's happened in this series emotionally. Both these teams are usually invested in this series, and you could see it, the passion of it. But right now, there's been some events that have happened that have really not fallen in Montreal's favor. Of course, the Eller hit, that was just devastating. You know, they don't really have a replacement, the depth to replace a guy like Lars Eller. They find a way to come back in game 2 and play for Lars Eller, and they play, that up-tempo, high game with some sandpaper in it. And they, even though they're missing Gionta and Pacioretty, it's a real big win for Montreal. And what happened to Ottawa was Ottawa just failed to respond in game 2, and Montreal wanted that game more. But in game 3, it was Ottawa that came out and responded physically. And I think what happened was Montreal started to play Ottawa's game as opposed to sticking to the game that made them so successful throughout the season and in game 2. That, you know, and I think they got caught up in it a little bit. And Michel Therrien, in my mind, was playing a game with a team that he did not, you know, a team that he does not have. He doesn't have the big rough and tumble team that he can just throw guys out and do what happened in game 3. And the result was, not only did they losing the scoreboard, they lost in the back alley as well. And I think they're going to have to take a deep breath and say, hey, listen, this isn't the way our team is built. Our team is not built this way to play this kind of game. Our team is built with speed, puck possession, transition. You know, we're going to come at you and we're going to throw all this stuff at you. And that's how we accumulated, you know, 50-something shots in game 1, is using their speed and transition. I think they got to get back to it.
And that brings me to my next question, Gary. I mean, coming out in the second period, the Habs were, I mean, for lack of a better term, flat-footed. They were literally just standing there as Ottawa took complete control of their own zone. And we were having a debate amongst a couple of guys that they were either physically fatigued or they had been psychologically battered. Which one do you think it was?
Well, you know what? It was the third game in four nights. I think this team has psychologically been through a lot. Like I said, you know, there's no doubt in my mind there was a huge charge for game two where this team was answering the bell, you know, that they were challenged, that their team had a, you know, their teammate in the whole bit and the Senators had disrespected them and Paul McLean had disrespected them. And I think, you know, I think at some point, you know, it seems to me that Paul McLean feels like if he can get Michel Therrien off his game, that's going to affect the whole ball of wax. And some of the comments, the way it's really, unwound Michel Therrien. But the response in game two by Ottawa, I think, was dismal. They didn't really stand up to Montreal. Montreal came out and Ryan White was running around banging guys and everything was a lack of response for Ottawa. And I think that at the end of the game, when Latondras failed to stand up for himself with White and kind of allowed that to happen, possibly is the reason why he did not play in game three. And Ottawa came out playing the way that they did was they felt like they kind of backed off and allowed Montreal to walk on them. And game three was the result of them coming back and showing they weren't going to do that. And they went after PK Subban immediately. And I think once the call in the opening shift did not happen on Eric Condra when he got his gloves and hands up in the head area of PK Subban, and there was no call, the precedent was set for the game that's not a penalty and you're going to be able to go at some people. And I think the game got a bit out of hand. And there was a number of high level hits and things that happened in that game that really should have been called. And it became a mess by the end of it. And Montreal lost their cool. But it's the one thing that I think, you know, when you looked at Montreal and you look at them all year long, was that you don't want to see that. This team never lost its cool. It kind of stayed with it and had confidence in playing its game. Right now, I'm not sure they have confidence in their game. And the biggest part of all this, guys, is Craig Anderson is outplaying Carey Price. Plain and simple. The goaltending in Ottawa has been better than the goaltending in Montreal. And in a series like this, it makes all the difference.
No debate from us on that one. A couple of minutes left with Gary Galley. Gary, I want to ask you, from the journalist in you, what's it like working with Bob Cole?
Well, you know, Bob is obviously a legend and the Hall of Famer, and it's been my career. I think I've been working with Bob, and we've become a team and working together. And I don't think anybody has a voice still, even today, has a voice like Bob has, and the ability for Bob to bring the game to the edge of your seat, you know, and I'm standing beside him sometimes. And in certain plays, I find myself like almost like I'm a fan at home listening, and he gets, you know, excited. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm very fortunate to be able to work with Bob especially we predominantly do cover Montreal throughout the course of the season. 75% of the games we do are Montreal. So we do see them a lot and we get to work in the Bell Center, which is obviously a great opportunity for us. The Bell Center is such a fantastic building to do a game in with the electricity and that's in the building all the time. And to be able to do this series between Ottawa and Montreal is great. And as you can see, every game there seems to be more media. First game, there was, of course, a plethora of media around. In the second game, it seemed like there was another 20 or 30. And then today in Ottawa, it seemed like the numbers had doubled. So people around the league are starting to come into this series. People that maybe at first looked at it and said, okay, it's Canadian series, whatever. But we're seeing a lot of people coming in to watch this media, a lot of U.S. media now starting to get on. So this is a series to watch for sure.
And Gary, maybe you can provide us with a little bit of a personal anecdote, a little story here that I've become aware of. You spent 18 seasons in the NHL, solid career. And I'm sure you have a lot of great stories. One of them involves during the very first NHL lockout, you were involved in a provincial tournament, I believe. And as a lot of people don't know, you're from Greenfield Park, Quebec. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, you know what? I was during the lockout, and I was, you know, I was at my house in just outside of Ottawa in Elmont, and I was, I got a call and asked if I would, you know, represent the NHL Players Association in this tournament, this shootout tournament, 4-on-4 in Hamilton, and I was like, you know, absolutely, I'd be great. You know, everyone was chomping at the bit for a little competition and playing, and so I was like, fantastic. So I called the trainer in Buffalo and asked him if he could possibly, you know, get my gear to Toronto so I could, you know, that I could play. And he was like, not a problem. He set it all up and get my equipment down there. So I get on a flight and I fly to Toronto and I get to the hotel where we came downstairs and they had it was 14. They had the four teams all set up, and there was a U.S. team, and then there was a Quebec team, and then there was an Eastern team and a Western team. And so it was kind of interesting, you know, and the Ontario team and the Quebec teams were rooms in the hotel were side by side. They're big ballrooms, and they had all the equipment and sweaters all out. And so I walked up to the Ontario. I'd been living in Ontario pretty much since I was 10, 11 years old in Ottawa. So I go up, and the guy says to me, yeah, sorry, Mr. Gallia, we don't have your name down here. And I'm like, well, they called me. They asked me to come here to play. Like, I did all this. The guy's like, yeah, I know. I really feel sorry. I'm going to have to get somebody to come over here. So they bring a guy in. He's like, yeah, Mr. Gallia, your name's not here. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, well, holy geez, guys, came a long way here. Like, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And finally, this gentleman comes over to me. He says, Gary, like, I'm pretty sure you're on the Quebec team. And I'm like, what? He goes, you're on the Quebec team. I said, okay, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, it's not where you're living. It's where you were born. And I said, oh, okay. So I go over to the Quebec team, and here I am on the Quebec team, which was, you know, of course, had, you know, Ray Bourque and Luc Robitaille and a bunch of guys that I know, and I played Patrick Roy. There was a bunch of guys on the team, and, of course, all French-Canadian speaking. I don't speak a lick of French, you know, and even though I was born there. So I end up in this locker room, and Yvon Cormier was our coach, and he comes in, and before the game, he's talking in French, and I'm sitting there watching all this going on, and Luc Robitaille was sitting beside me, and as soon as he finished this five-minute speech, he leaves, and I look at Luke, and he says to me, he just said, play hard. I'm like, okay, I got it. So we went out. It was, you know, it was a real fun time, it was a bit of an odd thing where I thought I was on one team and I was on the other, but nonetheless, it was a good solid weekend. I still got my Quebec Nordique blue sweater from the NHLPA that I wore that weekend. So, yeah, but very proud of my roots, very proud of where I came from, the South Shore of Montreal. You know, I was really fortunate enough to be inducted into the South Shore Hall of Fame there a few years back, and I was very proud to say that's where I'm from, and that's where I grew up. I still have a lot of friends back there that I come down and see on occasion, and always feel like when I come into Montreal to do the games, you know, and I was a Bruin too, which is another scary thing, which, you know, growing up in Montreal as a Bruin fan because of Bob Orr, but, you know, coming back and doing the games, I'm always treated with respect, which is, it's a great place there. And I'm certainly proud of being from there.
Once a Quebecer, always a Quebecer. Gary Galley from Hockey Night in Canada, thank you so much for your time tonight. Hopefully we can check in a little further down the road in the playoffs.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Really appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
There he goes, Gary Galley. That was fun, Jay.
Yeah. Imagine playing on a team with Ray Bourque, Luc Robitaille. Not bad, huh?
And the Roadrunner coaching.
Yeah. After a five-minute speech. That's great.
Although, didn't he coach the roller hockey team when
the Roadrunners?
That one season.
Did he coach them?
So.
Well, I know the team was named after him.
Yeah, I think he was the coach. That one year they played at the Forum and drew huge crowds.
Yeah.
Huge crowds. John Kakalakis is going to bring you all a sports update and let you know what's going on in the world of sports.
Yes.
I don't know if he'll touch on it, but the Blue Jays were down 7-0 tonight, came back and won 8-7.
Did they?
Play me some music.
Were
Jimmy.
They in a bowling tournament?
What, do you normally win or lose bowling matches 8-7?
I don't know.
I think it's impressive. The Jays have won two games in a row.
Amazing.
That's something the Marlins did last
year.
What
are they, 11-21 now?
Maybe.
12?
10? Yeah. 10-22, 11-22.
Oy.
Oy. Could be worse. Roy Halladay could be pitching for them.
Yeah. Why would we want that to happen?
It's a mess down there
right now.
Yeah,
he's now, having
a
hell
okay.
of a
they
season,
have,
too.
I think they're going to put him on the DL. His ERA is, I think, around 8. His ERA is in the 8 department right now.
It's a long season, Dave. It's baseball.
That's what I keep reminding my Blue Jays fan friends and fans. But right now, the only thing to be excited about in Toronto for baseball is the July 20th Expos rally. Our thanks to Gary Galley from Hockey Night in Canada, and this one's for the Habs fans. Kaufman Show. I'm Dave.
I'm Jay.
That's right. Jay's last name is Farrar.
It is. Dave's last name is Kaufman.
You can follow Jay on Twitter at JPub Radio.
You can follow Kaufman on Twitter at The Kaufman Show.
And yes, we're sober.
Oh,
wow.
That was the worst thing we've ever done.
Was that like the Gary Galley high that we're on or something? What the hell was that?
Great stuff coming out of Gary Galley.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. It was cool to hear him talking about Bob Cole. I wanted to ask him about that. It's a different perspective than we're used to. For so many years, so many people in this town thought that Bob Cole had it out for the Habs.
People don't know.
No, people don't know. He grew up a Habs. He's a Habs fan.
I'm bringing it out of the closet. Bob Cole is a Montreal Canadiens fan. I know this for a fact. Okay? My sources are... From Hockey Night in Canada are very reliable. And anybody thinks he's a homer and that he's a big Leaf fan, he's not. Why do you think he's doing the Montreal Canadiens right now? He gets to choose.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Really?
He gets to choose which series he wants to cover.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he does.
I'm actually shocked.
And he's doing that. And I'm sick of people. I mean, you know, the guy is almost 80 years old. Yes. Okay, he slips up on his words once in a while.
So does Don Cherry.
Is there any better voice in hockey, in the history of hockey, maybe besides Danny Gallivan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People will say Foster Hewitt.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to get your statistics and your numbers right all the time. When you're watching a game, the game is about entertainment.
Who needs statistics?
Who needs statistics? 13%
of all people know that, Jay.
That's right. Bob Cole sings. He's poetry when he does a game.
One of the foremost statisticians in the world is actually on the line right now. His name is Dr. Michael Spry.
Oh, my goodness.
His website, thebarnstormer.com, is so chock full of stats that sometimes I read it when I need to sleep. And it's
That's
tough.
What a great promo that is.
Well, it's the opposite of everything that I feel about his website.
Okay.
I hope he knows that. It's very stats light, in fact. And the Barnstormer, it's the anti-ESPN. And I mean that as the highest form of compliment. But thebarnstormer.com, I think it's probably been about a year that it's been kicking around now, maybe a little less. And, well, I guess it is about a year because they're celebrating their one-year anniversary on June 9th in Toronto. Wish I could be there. Won't be able to make it, but that's going to be a heck of a party. Mike Spry is one of the founders and one of the contributing editors to thebarnstormer.com. And, again, check out their roundbus. Check out their features. It's really a who's who of Canadian literacy geniuses. And that's people who are smart and can read and write.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Amazing.
You've been a part of it, haven't you, Jay?
I missed my shot.
You missed the bus?
I was late for the I got deadlines to meet, and I missed it.
You missed the bus, the round bus.
Yeah,
wow.
I was a little, I got caught up with the pub. And
nobody's liking my crisscross reference.
Being at Montreal Hockey Talk, and I was really busy, and I really, because I do like to write. You never see me do it.
No.
But I do like to write, and I think I'm a fairly good writer. I mean, I don't compare in anywhere near the guys that are on the Barnstormer, but maybe a little bit more edgy, and thank God for spell check.
Well, here's your opportunity to bring in our next guest and make amends.
Okay. I've been having to do that a lot with Spry lately.
Go ahead. Oh, it seems like it's already been done. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're great, man. We're great. Tell us about this party on the 9th before we get down to official business.
Yeah, well, we realized that we've been around for a year, which came as a shock to all of us.
Crazy how those years just fly by, eh, man?
Yeah. It's hard to believe I'm 22 already. But
you'll never see 22 again.
You don't know that. So we decided to throw ourselves a little fete, get some people together and have some drinks and maybe do some readings, let our contributors sell some of their books and, you know, try and get everyone who's contributed to the Barnstormer in one place and, have some adult beverages and some deep intellectual discussion while we do shots. And, so we're going to do it Sunday, June 9th in Toronto at Nobody Writes to the Colonel. College in Bathurst, and we're not exactly sure what kind of a reading or what we're going to do. We're still brainstorming that, but we're also going to launch the ebook from Found Press of Cheap Throat, The Diary of a Locked Out Hockey Player,
which is one of your more successful. That was one of the more successful series that ran on the website.
Yeah, amazingly enough. We filled the hockey void there during the lockout. So, we put that together as an ebook with the people at Found Press and added some new goodies and some illustrations. And, it should be a good time. So if anyone's in Toronto on June 9th, come on down to Nobody Writes to the Colonel and have some drinks with us. Have a good time.
I can only hope that there will be a Montreal party down the road in the summer.
We're hoping. But we figure to have one in Montreal towards the end of the summer, because in Montreal during the summer, either there's still hockey or everyone's drinking in a park. So we don't want to interrupt either of those things.
Mike, can't it be both?
I wish, Dave. I wish. If only. You know as well as I do, Montreal pauses for the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a slow, slow town in the summertime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not New York slow.
No.
Yeah.
New York completely stops in the summertime.
You don't want to compete with what Montreal has to offer during the summer. So hopefully, something into August we'll do something in Montreal, because that would be a lot of fun, get you guys to come out.
I know a good place.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. We have a venue. Step one taken care of.
No one writes to the manager. We're going to call that place.
Yeah. No one. Yeah. No one writes to the manager. That's great.
So, Mike, what's going on in your world right now? I know you you started some new venture on the on what they call the MTV, right?
The MTV.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as you guys well know, I've dominated all forms of media. You know, the internet, radio, and and print. So it's time to move on, and so I somehow found myself involved with television, which is still a bit of a shock. But it's a show called Play with AJ, and with the host AJ Savani, and somehow one of the producers tracked me down to the Barnstormer and kind of liked what we were doing, and invited me to help put together this segment called 30 Seconds of Fame, and was able to round up, Dave McGimsey, you guys know well.
Yes.
And a Toronto writer by the name of Natalie Zena Walshot, so we could have a nice, diverse panel. And, we shot a screen test a couple of months ago, and they really liked it. And so we went up last week, and we shot our segment. And, it was a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be a good show. They have they're trying to do, like, a pop culture sports thing where they have, you know, musicians and actors talk about sports and have athletes talk about pop culture. It's a little different from your typical sports show, but it was a lot of fun, and we're looking to find ways to continue to work with them in the future.
Sounds like the Kaufman Show on television.
Yeah, man, exactly, exactly.
I'm not very impressed right now.
Well, you gotta move slowly into the new world, and then once you have power, then you bring all the people in. You know, I have a plan.
Well, we'll have to talk to the fine folks at MTV. That's a really cool thing. I watched the segment this morning, Mike, and I thought it was really fun. It was cool to see. First of all, it was cool to see two of my friends, you and Dave McGimsey, on television. But
right.
I thought that the segment flowed really well. And now you're telling me now that you helped conceptualize this. Is this why you won this week's segment?
No, I mean, I didn't help to conceptualize, but they wanted me to grab people who I thought would be good on the segment.
Oh, cool.
So I grabbed Dave and Natalie.
Nice.
And then the three of us and the producers worked on putting together questions that would kind of feed into our talents, right? And I think at the end of the day, it worked out pretty well. Although I watched it once, and I can never watch it again. I don't want to see myself on TV ever again.
Ever?
I looked like a deer in headlights.
No,
like
you
I was
didn't.
Gonna cry.
No, you didn't.
Well,
come
I
on.
I did.
Oh, you're too critical.
Yeah, my sister said horrible things about it, and now my mother won't watch it.
Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? Wow.
I have a very, very warm family.
Well, you see, like, my parents are asleep right now. Jay's dad would rather watch Jon Stewart, but that's harsh.
My mother's listening.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Ma. Happy Easter, Ma.
I appreciate her constructive criticism.
Oh, I'm happy that you don't have that deer in the headlights feeling when listening, when you're on the Kaufman Show with our dozens of listeners across the world.
No, because on radio, you don't have to wear pants, and that's really the secret to my multimedia comfort.
I'm sure you could figure out a way. Tell them you guys want to sit behind a desk next time.
Yeah, we're going to have to work with the set people, because, yeah, those chairs weren't working for me.
we're kibitzing with Mike Spry tonight on the Kaufman Show. Mike, why don't you tell us what's going on in the Barnstormer, what we can look for right now on the site?
Well, besides our biggest thing is the celebration coming up there, but we've had some cool stuff up lately. We had this great poem called Steubenville about the Steubenville rape trial by a Toronto writer by the name of David Brock, which is something we were really excited to publish. It was just a beautiful piece, and it really encapsulated that event really well. He's a really, really great writer, and we were really happy that he was able to give that to us. And then we had a couple of Bostonians kind of gave us their aftermath essays, a guy by the name of David Tanklevsky and another guy by the name of Alex Skillen. And that was a real pleasure to do, because it's hard for us, you know, I mean, you guys did a great job covering it, but it's hard when you're removed from the city, and a city with such a, you know, such a personality like Boston, mm-hmm. To try and capture the feeling of what happened there. And I think these two writers did a really, really good job, and we were really excited to have that on the site. That was, you know, that was one of the days where you're really pleased to be able to be running like something, and everything's clicking, and we were really, really proud to be able to get that out.
When we were on that night, and the story was, I guess, not that many hours old, it wasn't about capturing the essence of Boston. It was just about getting the story out properly.
Right, exactly.
It was,
exactly.
I mean, maybe if that happened as a byproduct of it, then fantastic. But it was, I mean, you know, we wanted to speak to Mike Wendt because we knew that he was there. We didn't know that his fiance was in the building that had blown,
yeah.
where the bomb had gone off.
Right. We had no suspects or anything at the time.
Right.
We had no idea what was happening. It was still very, very fresh.
Oh, yeah, everything was hypothetical and alleged and alleged and alleged. Although I guess sort of still should be. But,
yeah. It should be.
I doubt he's coming to sue us.
You guys were on the air like 7 hours after it happened, you know,
something like that. Yeah.
I mean, in this, you know, in this age with Twitter, I mean, like watching your Twitter feed that day was just chaos, you know, like trying to sift through what was real and what wasn't. So props to you guys for putting on a great show that night for sure.
Well, it made you think about what 9/11 would have been like if Twitter was around.
Oh man. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, just absolute insanity, you know?
Wow. Yeah. I don't know what events, I mean, you know, sporting events are sporting events, and you see when the Leafs score and the feed becomes, you know, a whole bunch of yays and yeses and all rights. But when something real happens, and I guess we'll see more and more of that as the digital journalism age progresses and Twitter becomes the medium.
Yeah, there was a time you had to go out and look for your information. Now it comes to you. So different.
Yeah, it's an odd transition for sure.
Yeah, I get why, you know, the average dude doesn't maybe embrace Twitter, but if you're a journalist and you're not on Twitter, then I don't know what you're doing.
I love it, man. I mean, it's the newswire, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's replaced the AP, you know, like it's the first place I've, you know, in the last like 5 years, what piece of important news have you heard that you didn't hear of first on Twitter? You know, like, I just can't think of it.
I don't know. You're right.
It's a crazy world we live in, gentlemen.
It is. And thankfully, there are websites like the Barnstormer out there to make sense of it all for us. Mike, awesome. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me on. And hopefully we'll see you both soon in person.
Yeah, get your butt down to Montreal and we'll make it happen.
Next couple of weeks for sure.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Have a good night. There he goes. Mike Spry, follow him on Twitter at MDSpry. Yes, Jimmy, I want to hear music. I like the way you think.
He's there. He saw.
We're all here, Jay. Yeah. We're all here.
He threw on the music before you even gave him the break signal.
He's good like that.
He's getting used to us.
About time. On the fifth day of May, but I could not hold on for her very long. So I cut off my hair and I rode straight away for the wild unknown country where I could not go wrong. I came to the high place of darkness and night. The dividing line ran from the center of town. I hitched up my pony to a post on the right. Went into a laundry and washed my clothes down. A man in the corner approached me for a match. I knew right away easy to catch. I said, I got no money, man. He said, that ain't necessary.
Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
Ventilator Blues to bring you into the Kaufman Show on TSN 690.
You're making me discover a whole new side of the Rolling Stones, which I've never known before. I love this.
Not Ruby Tuesday and Satisfaction?
That's it. I love the songs that you play, you know. It's refreshing.
Stones are badass, man. They're a wonderful band.
They are a wonderful band.
They're a wonderful band. I hope that you had a chance to go down and see the Blushing Brides last week at Club Soda with their tribute to the Rolling Stones, because, frankly, that's closer to a Stone show than what you'll get at the Bell Center on June 9th. Now, it seems there are plenty of good tickets available for that show.
It seems so. Seems I was right a couple of weeks ago.
The only
problem
is they're $600 a ticket.
Yeah, well, maybe not anymore.
Well,
according to an article I read today.
Yeah, at the Staples Center, the opening show of the tour, at the last minute, they released a bunch of tickets for $85, which meant that there was somebody sitting real close in seat number two for $85, and then in seat number three was somebody who paid $600, which sucks.
Apparently, they're having a hard time selling these tickets.
Understandably so.
Yeah, they're tremendously overpriced. Tremendously.
Now, why do you think that is? But hold on now. Hold on now. Hold on just a second. Hold on, Jay Farrar. Hold on a second. How much is it to sit in the Reds for a Habs playoff game in the first round, in the second round, in the third round for the Stanley Cup Finals? What's it cost to sit courtside to watch the Raptors play fill-in random crappy NBA team?
Yeah.
Stuff costs money now.
Yeah. But not everybody's going to take it.
I'm not saying it's right.
Not everybody's going to take that crap.
And you shouldn't.
No.
And you shouldn't. And I'm a sucker, and I bought the cheapest tickets available. And there was no way that I was spending a mortgage payment to go see the Stones on June 9th. It's nuts.
It's ridiculous.
It's nuts. And it changes the fan base at a concert, too. You know, the best Stone show I've ever seen, and I've seen a bunch, but was the one in front of 500,000 people in Toronto for the SARS benefit, where it was a $25 ticket.
Right.
And it meant that everybody could go see the Stones that day, and that was really nice.
Yeah. If you know me at all, you know that I'm one that complains about complacency by the public and how sick I am of it. But sometimes people will only be pushed so far that eventually they'll say, you guys have been around for 50 years. You're 70 years old. Relax. Relax a little bit. Put down your ticket prices a little bit. Let everybody else enjoy the show. Be a little bit more universal. Be a band of the people like you're supposed to be, like you claim to be.
What can a poor boy do except go sing for a rock and roll band?
Exactly.
In sleepy London town, there's just no place for the street fighting man. Let's go to the phones. We've got Ron to agree with Jay in Montreal North. Hello, Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Ron?
Can you hear me?
I can. Is there anybody in there? How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
Not too bad.
Good.
Something a little bit disconcerting.
Well, hopefully we can
soothe
you.
I don't know if you can get a clip of that. Gallo was interviewing somebody from a the Ottawa team yesterday.
Okay.
And basically, he said, I'm paraphrasing.
I imagine.
They don't have the
right.
The clip. And he says, there is no respect up there.
Between
there's
the
no
two?
He says, there's no time for respect. The game's too fast. You make your hit, and he goes, and the only thing that matters. He didn't say it. He didn't use that word. But it comes out to the same thing. In other words, the only thing that really matters is winning. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter basically who you hurt along the way, and whose face you smash in, and whose head you concuss or anything or whatever.
Well, that's ridiculous, don't you think, Ron?
The only thing is winning.
That's ridiculous, don't you think?
Well, I think the generations that have been raised with that mentality are now entering the NHL. This is the younger guy.
Yeah, I heard
the
that.
Younger guy.
I heard that quote, and you know what? I give him credit for being honest. I'm trying to find out which player that was. But, at least he's being honest.
Thanks
it's true.
Ron.
It's true. It is true. There is no respect out there. These guys are literally playing the series of their lives. And, you know, in the end, there's a fat paycheck involved. You win the Stanley Cup, there's a lot of things that come with it. And as much as they want to say that it's about the glory of raising the trophy, let's be a little bit honest about it. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog sport, and you're going to run over your opponent in order to get to where you want to be. And, means new cars, bigger houses.
Our thanks to Ron for the call, as always. Let's go to Abe on line two. Hello, Abe.
Can't buzz Ted's like we used to, but we have our ways.
Well, you've got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I cut the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they called Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on him. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions.
Abe, thank you. Thank you, Abe. We appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
Every time, Abe.
It's unbelievable.
Every time. Seems like it's the same story every time, too. I don't know what it is.
It gets that way a little bit sometimes, doesn't it? The important thing is that
thank you,
he had an onion on his belt.
He did have an onion on his belt. Damn generation.
So, back to the Stones, right?
Yeah. Speaking of
what's it cost
old men mumbling nothing.
What does it cost to sit in the Reds at the Bell Center in the first round of the playoffs?
I don't know. $600-$700?
Does it?
I don't know the price.
But I know it goes up.
I know it's overpriced.
The regular season's overpriced. Obviously, the playoffs is going to be overpriced, Jay. Does it make it doable for that? I mean, look, you're obviously not reaching out to the casual fan, and you're obviously reaching out to somebody who makes a lot of money.
Right.
I guess the rich stay rich, right?
Right. But there's going to be a time, and you'll see, the economy is a little bit better than it was 5-6 years ago, but there's going to be a time where people are not going to take it anymore. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's inevitable.
Well, I think part of what people are hoping for, Jay, is that, or at least the Stones and Ivanko and whoever else is putting on this concert, is that it's Grand Prix weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be tons of Euro trash always in town, like every single year.
Yes.
And
don't I know it?
They have their Visa Black, the platinum cards.
Yeah.
And you spend willy nilly because you're in town and you're at the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So what's another $600 to see Mick and the boys?
And as much as I'm known for having a negative outlook on the human condition.
You?
Yeah. I do. There's no hope. It's all over. But but sometimes people surprise me. You know, sometimes people are going to say, listen, I'm not going to sit here and take that crap. You know what? And even the rich do. And they say, I'm not going to pay that much for a playoff ticket. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. They're going to reach a limit. They're going to reach a point where people say, yeah, that's just too much for what you're offering me as a product. To sit there for 3 hours, overpay for beer and hot dogs and what have you. And we're seeing it. I see it at the pub. More and more people are coming to eat, drink their beers at the pub, and then go to the hockey game.
You know,
because they just
can't
afford it anymore.
You're seeing also dynamic pricing from teams nowadays. A few baseball teams have started to do this. Sort of like the airlines, where the ticket doesn't always stay the same price. It depends on demand. There'll be a bit of a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Max the Guru, who's in San Francisco right now, sat 10 rows off the field for an afternoon Giants-Rockies game. I think it was $12 or $11 bucks for the ticket.
Yeah.
Because they knew that was what they were going to get for the ticket, so they dropped the price to $11.
There's no law. There's no set cap. You know, there's nothing to control these prices, so long as people keep paying them.
Briefly back to the Grand Prix for a second, and then we've got Torben Rolfsson coming up with some jokes. I got an email from Groupon this week offering me 2-for-1 for Grand Prix tickets.
Ooh. That's not good.
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, my friends. Can't blame it on the student protests this year.
No, you can't. They've been a little more subtle than they were before. They're not making international headlines.
Well, they get arrested the second they start protesting.
Yes. Yes, because we've turned into a police state.
The marijuana march went unabated, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for them.
Yeah, I guess they remembered. I don't know how they remembered to give the itinerary to the cops, but the average protesters didn't.
The reason why it went well is because everybody thought they went to it.
Peace, love, dope, man.
Yeah, they thought they showed up. Yeah, I was there, wasn't I?
Oh, I spaced on the date. let's go to our next guest. His name is Torben Rolfsson. Writes for The Province. You can catch him on the Vancouver comedy scene as well as on... is it Team 1040 out in Vancouver, soon to be part of the TSN Brotherhood of Man? Torben Rolfsson, Van Guy on Twitter, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
What's going on, man?
We're just having a wonderful kind of like midsummer heat wave out here in the first of May, first week of May, so it's been awesome.
Yeah, you know what? Same here, actually. It's I think it's been pretty nice pretty much across this gorgeous country of ours, but same, 30-degree days and...
Wow.
From winter straight to summer, it's been fantastic.
That's amazing.
Tell me some jokes. Make me laugh, Torben. Make me laugh like you always do.
Well, you know, what caught my attention this week was the Chicago Cubs owner. He threatened to leave Wrigley Field if their stadium renovation plan is denied. They do realize that's the only reason people go to Cubs games, don't they?
Honestly.
to hang out at Wrigley, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Cubs without Wrigley would be like the SI swimsuit issue without photos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah,
one Jimmy speaks to Jimmy, one. Yes.
Yeah. R.A. Dickey is 2-5 on pace for 30 losses, and the Jays are 11-21. Worst start since Donnie Wahlberg in The Sixth Sense. I'm trying to bring my movie references into the 90s. the New York Knicks, they've achieved the impossible. They're even less likable than the Miami Heat. It's the sixth anniversary of the NBA opening its London office. It was going great until the English cut down all the nets after they discovered flossing.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Is there
I love those pauses are amazing. Yeah. It's like, did the world just end?
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Kentucky Derby?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. I was wondering, is there a hip-hop version of My Old Kentucky Home?
Of the most racist song of all time? I don't know.
I want to hear it. Orb, of course, the winning horse. And today he was awarded the cover of EA Sports Horse Race 14.
Is that actually a thing?
Probably not.
Okay.
No. Horse Race 14.
Well, they talk about,
should it be 143 or something like that?
The jinxes right. involved with being on the covers of these things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Any horse I know who knows what his ankles are worth wouldn't want to be on the cover of an EA Sports game.
There's been a lot of talk about a proposed second MLS franchise in New York City. For demographic marketing purposes, I hope the team name is the Cosmos. It'd be great to see people thinking the team was named after a cocktail on Sex and the City.
Very good.
And finally, the Southeastern Conference, SEC, of course, unveiled its own network, which will begin broadcasting in August of 2014. They plan to air football, basketball, and endless reruns of Dukes of Hazzard.
Nice, Torben. What's going on with you this week?
Not too much. I'm hosting the big show tomorrow night at the Kino Cafe, as we mentioned last week. And, yeah, things are good.
Good, good. Happy to hear. Not too much malaise over the Canucks right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you guys know, but yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unreal. This town is in funeral mode.
Is it? How is the Luongo sentiment right now?
It's pretty positive. I mean, I think it's generally been positive over the years. I mean, obviously they've had some downslides, but he's really well respected now. People love his Twitter, of course, Strombone1. And he's just been very much kind of like open to the public and open to his actual feelings in interviews for the last year or so. So people are very pro Luongo. There's no problem there.
What a turnaround, eh? I mean, and again, you know, social media has been such a part of it. But what a turnaround from being so hated in Vancouver to getting to show his personality in a way that sports teams, they usually guard athletes and don't let you see what the guy's really like. And then the second that anybody just had a chance to see what this dude was like, he became the man again in Vancouver.
Yeah, no, it was really amazing. And I mean, I liked him, and I never hated him either. And it kind of caught me off guard, too. And I think, you know, he was mocked around the league or other cities as well. And that's, I mean, I think they're probably a little late to the party, but he's been really amazing, both in his interviews and online. He's really really an open, funny, honest guy.
Torben, thank you so much for your time tonight. We'll check in next week.
All right. Have a great night, guys.
You too. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy, Torben Rolfson. Yes, Mr. Farrar?
Isn't that great about... Isn't that so Montreal about Roberto Luongo? Don't you find that's a very Montreal way of acting, you know?
Or is that just a thing we say because we're from here?
No, because you know what? It's because it's got a Mediterranean flavor to it as well. I mean, as you know, I grew up in Chamonix.
Right.
We get a lot of callers here from St. Leonard, you know, Greeks, Italian, always very honest, always straight from the heart, you know, with a great sense of humor as well. And I think that's just I don't know. Mediterraneans in Montreal is just a different thing. Mitch Melnick has always said people from Chamonix are just different. There's something different about it. And I know Luongo is from out east, RDP, in the St. Leonard area. But
right.
There's something just so honest about, I guess I'm, you know, being from Montreal and being part Mediterranean.
Right, right.
I have that outlook. But I just feel that I just get this sense of Montreal from him. The way he does interviews, the way he is on Twitter. I think it's something very distinct.
Do you think, I know the ship has obviously sailed, but could he have made it in this town?
This town?
Yeah. As the
be all over him. All over him.
In a good way. Or in a, I don't know.
Depending how he's playing. Like any other goalie in this town, you know? Especially one that's from here.
Who's the last hometown goalie from here? Like Patrick Waugh was from Quebec City.
It would be Jocelyn Thibault, I would think.
Thibault was from Montreal proper?
I don't know if he was from Montreal proper, but
he counts.
He's Quebec Waugh.
Well, what about Theo?
Oh, yeah. There's Theodore, of course.
Yeah, Jocelyn Theodore. He was from Laval, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
I think. I don't know.
He had Chomedy? I mean, come on.
He had that Mediterranean Montreal flavor
go.
As well.
There yeah. you go. See, some nice.
He's half Greek.
As are you, my friend.
As I as am I. And Christos Anesti to all my Greek brothers and sisters throughout the city and anybody listening, all the best. Belated. It was yesterday. Hope you're all full. Hope all that lamb is digesting well.
Yes. Happy. What was it? Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
All right.
Yes.
Christ is risen? Or
yes.
Is that essentially that?
I love it when Jews say it.
You know it.
It's awesome.
Well, I figure we spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about 20,000 Jews watching the Maple Leafs tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, Jimmy.
Yes, gentlemen.
Save me, Jimmy.
Richard Sévigné, goalie from the 1980s for the Habs, born in Montreal.
Okay.
Okay, but then there was Thibault. And then there was Theodore.
Theodore, right.
Yeah.
And
so,
potentially Rassico or Bergeron.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially.
We don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
There have been a few along the way, I'm sure.
There are a few, and of course.
But again, we're talking about elite goaltenders.
Yeah, right? Elite number one starters that spend a good time here in Montreal. Jocelyn Thibault wasn't here for that long. Maybe a lot longer than he should have been. But he was part of a big trade.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember. Was
yes.
he now?
Yes. Which most of them were gone 2 years. It's kind of like the Gary Carter trade with the New York Mets. The only guy that stuck around was Huey Brooks. And it was the same thing with the Colorado trade. I mean,
well, it was Rutschinski, Kovalenko.
Kovalenko, yeah. Kovalenko and Thibault were gone pretty quickly, but Rutschinski had a pretty long career here in Montreal.
Was it Kovalenko that scored the last goal at the...
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Did he also score the first goal at the Molson Center?
No, he never scored two goals with Montreal. Silly Dave.
Boy, yeah. You want to feel old, Jay? Kerry Wood,
20
strikeout game, was 15 years ago today.
15 years ago,
yeah.
20 strikeout game.
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of puts Roy Halladay's decline into perspective, though, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, pitchers aren't what they used to be.
Pardon?
Pitchers aren't what they used to be.
What do you mean? They're not as tough?
I don't know. They're just, I mean.
Don't forget what Steve Rogers said on our show last year.
Yeah.
They are now entities. They are
yes.
shares in this giant conglomerate that is Major League Baseball. You have to protect them.
I think it's an issue of technological advancement and the ability to detect injuries. You have more of a chance. You have more of a tendency to sideline your player when you can detect that he has a torn tendon, that he needs Tommy John surgery,
when
that he has
just
a hangnail,
faking it.
Yeah.
Yes, let's. Yes,
yes. Mike from Il Perot says he loves the show. He goes,
good.
George Vezina, born in Montreal.
There you go. So now we're going way back.
The Vezina Trophy named after George Vezina.
Wasn't George Vezina the Chicoutimi cucumber?
No.
Who was that? Who
was
the Chicoutimi cucumber?
Wasn't Aurel Juliet, was it?
No.
No.
No. Let's bring in Johnny from the South Shore. Johnny, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
And to you, Yanni.
Yeah, thank you. Kaufman with the hot mom. How are you?
Yo,
what's
going on?
You
know Liza's not my mom, right? You were listening
right.
last week, right?
Right.
All right, cool.
Holly's
my hot mom.
Jay.
Yeah,
I heard your hit for McLean's. It sounded so epic. It's like I wanted to take a sword and slay Romans or something. You know, it's like
Johnny.
The intonation of it was just like, oh my god!
I was using my movie trailer voice,
yes,
Johnny.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly. Now my question goes, I guess, for the advertising biz. If you didn't put on that ad, or McLean's didn't pay for that ad, or whatever the case, do you think, and this goes for all the, you know, put a TV in a bar and become a sports bar kind of thing, if you didn't put that ad, do you think people would not have shown up to your place?
Oh, people have been going there to watch sports for years, Johnny.
I just think the advertising dollars, I think that money could have gone to a better place, I think. I mean, this goes for all bars and restaurants and bars who have a TV. I mean, well, everyone's going to flock into
it. It's not so much about letting people know that you're there and what you're offering. It's more about name branding.
That's right.
It's about letting people, the more you stick a name of a company or a product into people's head, that's what advertising is about. Anybody would know that if they watch Mad Men. Commercials are not there to say, hey, listen, we got specials this week, or we're doing this week, or hey, we exist. It's more about ingraining the name into somebody's head, saying, listen, we're one of the big five bars. This is what we do.
It also leads to Johnny talking about your ad and saying that your voice sounds like makes him want to go off and slay Romans.
Yes.
Not that your bar has anything against
slay the Romans. Yeah. McLean's Pub. Yeah, it's awesome.
McLean's Pub. Yeah. Slay the Romans.
I did it as the happy guy first. And
Scott, thanks for the call, Johnny.
I did it as the happy guy first, the old smiling, hey, head down to McLean's Pub. And I'm like, you know what?
That's not me.
The word epic is actually in the commercial.
Okay.
And I can't say epic. You know, I can't. I got to say epic. Epic.
Jimmy, our stats checker is on the.
Yes, according to Wikipedia, the Chicoutimi cucumber is George Vezina.
Wikipedia?
Wikipedia. How do you pronounce it?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure you were.
That's a whole different website.
And Jose Theodore is born in Laval. I'm not sure
there
if
you
call that Montreal.
Right.
I think we called that.
He's more than one of my people then.
George Vezina, the Chicoutimi cucumber.
Yeah. Okay. So he is from Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
But that still counts as one of our own.
You want to, I believe that I know a Montreal goaltender who was quite the star in this town. Bill Dernan. I think Bill Dernan was from Montreal.
That could be as well. And, of course, well, Patrick Roy, but Patrick Roy being from Quebec City.
I passed the Bill Dernan Arena today. Yes, Jimmy?
Born in Toronto.
Oh, damn it! Well, I still passed the Bill Dernan
You might have been
Dernan
thinking
Arena
Doug
today.
Harvey.
Doug Harvey was not a goaltender.
No, but he was from Montreal.
Yes. So there were many
and
hockey players
English
that came
guy.
From Montreal, Jay.
Yeah, okay.
But, yes,
and Bunny
Jimmy.
LaRocque was born in Hull.
Bunny LaRocque.
Bunny LaRocque.
Yes, I know Ken Dryden's from Toronto.
And I know you mentioned Andre Rastico. He's born in Rouyn, Noranda.
Wow!
Jimmy.
Wow!
Jimmy all over Wikipedia today.
Wow, all over Wikipedia. Yeah. I feel like you've been there several times today. This is impressive.
Thanks, Jimmy. No. Thanks for the information.
I think I want to talk to Jerry and NDG, and I'm lucky because he's on the line. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Jerry?
Well, not too happy with Sunday night hockey. With the Habs...
But you don't cheer for the Capitals, too?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? My wife and I hated the Capitals.
Well, yeah, but they weren't very good when you were living in D.C.
Oh, brother. They were at the end. They weren't at the beginning. Well, they weren't... Actually, when we first moved down there, they had a fund, Save the Caps Fund, but then Irving Grundman traded away Langway, Engblom and Jarvis for Walter and the other one, Laughlin, he traded away too. Rick Green and what's his name? The guy that's written.
Ryan Walter.
Ryan Walter, that's it, yeah. And then the Capitals got good.
And then the Capitals got good. And then you came home and dealt with a bunch of mediocrity in Montreal. And
that's
now
right.
it's playoff time. And,
yeah, but
and it's still sort of mediocrity.
Canadians won a Stanley Cup with Rick Green and Ryan Walter, did they not, in 1986?
Yes, they did. They did.
Yeah, but he was still in D.C.
Who?
Yeah,
Okay.
Jerry was still in D.C.
Okay.
at the time.
Yep.
You sound sad, my friend. And I have to say, it's so early in this series. It was one game. And you got to figure the Canadians are going to respond. They can't show up playing the type of hockey that they played in Game 3.
Let's hope not.
I don't see it happening.
No.
I just don't see it happening.
No.
If so, then I'll tell you, next week's show is going to be about Michel Therrien.
Yeah.
The entire show.
And about Carey Price. I have a feeling.
Let's wait and see on that one. I know they're again, it can't be as bad as it was yesterday. Yesterday has to be a blip on the radar. Game four has to go, you know, in baseball, in all sports, you talk about regression to the mean. And I think tomorrow you'll see a lot closer of a ball game, of a hockey game.
It is, but Paul McClain is doing something really genius right now. He's trying to bring out the old Michel Therrien. It's it's kind of like the Hulk movies where Bruce Banner hasn't been the Hulk in a few years. And then there's that one guy who's just trying to get the monster out of him and use it in order to use it against him, you know? And that's exactly what he's doing. And now it's all up to Michel Therrien. Don't lose your temper. Relax, because you know what? When you start seeing your coach losing it and getting upset about every little thing that Paul McClain does, it affects the entire locker room.
No bench miners and no sending Lindsay out for the face-off.
Yes.
The other thing I'm kind of upset about is the hit on Eller.
Well, I mean, what are you upset about? There was a suspension? And
We only got a two-game suspension. They should throw him out. Wow. I mean, we don't know when Eller's going to come back.
You're a hockey fan.
Yep.
So you know how this game works.
I know.
There was a whole school of thought that he shouldn't have been suspended at all.
I didn't agree with that.
Well, you know, it's not often that one agrees with Shanahan. But
no.
There were two sides to this. There were people that were as sure that it wasn't a hit to the head. That Diaz hung Eller out to dry. I was there. I saw it. It kind of gave me that same puke feeling that
because it was gory as well.
Well, there was a lot of blood.
There have been a lot,
there was
worse,
a lot of blood.
There have been a lot worse hits with a lot worse intention,
but a lot
to
less
them,
blood.
And a lot less blood,
right.
And a lot less injury. Some guys just get up, but they suffered a worse hit. They just happened to fare better after the collision.
Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Jerry.
I like to err on the side of caution on these things. And you have to figure that game was a blip. And that, you know, Therrien wants to bear the brunt of this and be the narrative like we discussed in the last hour of the show. Fine. He can't let that happen again. He can't.
That's right. That's
the
right.
The Michel Therrien that Montreal Canadiens fans were sold on, 2013 version, is not that Michel Therrien.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Michel Therrien 10 years ago, rearing his ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Habs signed up for. That's not what Jeff Molson signed up for. There's no way.
Yeah. And I'm all...
And we won't see it tomorrow, I'm sure.
That's right. And I'm all for, you know, the billboard stuff, using things that the other coach says as fuel. I am good. But don't blow your load. What happened is there was such an adrenaline rush. It helped the Canadiens in game two. They won. Ryan White was hitting everybody. He was all over the place. It was the best game I ever seen him play. And Rene Bork as well, hitting everybody he saw, and you could see that they were really determined. What happened by game three? Canadians had literally blown their load. They had nothing left. By the beginning of the second period, they were standing there, literally.
But it was dumb penalties. It was
dumb penalties, but they just had no adrenaline rush left. They were coming down.
That's preposterous, Jay. These are the playoffs. You have to have that in the tank.
I know, but there was
Ottawa
so much emotion.
Ottawa is just tired. In fact, Ottawa had played more games in a shorter period
themselves.
Of time.
They paced themselves. And the Canadians didn't pace themselves. That was the problem. It was a huge hit. They were upset about their teammate going down. It was gory. It was bad. It was upsetting. And then with the comments with Paul McClain afterwards, they literally let their adrenaline rush and need whatever else get the better of them. That's why they were standing there in the second period. They had nothing left. Nothing left. Completely, completely exhausted. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Occasionally I have to communicate with Jimmy and try and multitask. And,
okay, I'm sorry.
If you hadn't have apologized twice now, I don't think anybody would have noticed.
I'm so sorry.
Just would have been a pause, like when Torben told a joke and we didn't find it funny.
And yeah, I know.
A little bit of a pause. It happens.
Yeah.
It's life.
Yes.
Don't worry about
it. Sorry.
Habs win, Habs lose. Stop apologizing.
We're going to be okay. It's very early in the series.
Stop being so damn Canadian, Jay.
Eh?
You hoser.
When did I start to get so polite?
I don't know.
Trying to be more positive.
Can you come back and be next week and be the same jerk that you always are? Because you're kind of putting me
I could be a jerk if you want. You just got to get me going.
Yeah, which, again, I don't know. I haven't really poked the bear tonight.
No, you didn't poke the bear.
Sorry.
Yeah. I let it out on Twitter and Facebook today, so I'm okay.
There you go. No, well, I didn't wear sandals.
I blew my load.
I didn't, there you go.
Yeah.
It's like doing a radio show with Tobias Funke here.
Who?
Tobias.
Oh, yes.
You blowhard. I want to thank you all for listening to the Kaufman Show tonight. I want to thank our guests, Gary Galley from Hockey Night in Canada, Mike Spry from the Barnstormer. If you're in Toronto on June 9th, go to the barn raising. Don't tell the colonel.
Don't tell the colonel.
Don't tell the colonel.
Don't write to the colonel.
Don't write the colonel.
Don't write the colonel.
Go to thebarnstormer.com. Get all the information for their June 9th event at a bar involving the word colonel.
And men, stop wearing sandals, please. Please stop wearing sandals.
I'm not.
And flip-flops. I'm white men out there, you're not
what,
that
so you
free.
You have to cover your feet all summer
yes,
long? Is that the rule?
Please do. Please do. Especially
what?
Not
Why?
In a restaurant.
Why are you looking at guys'
I'm just
feet
saying,
anyway?
I'm just because I promised some listeners that I would get on that a little bit. I'm just saying, please stop doing
Why
that.
Why are you looking at
do
guys'
you have
feet
a choice?
Anyway?
Do you have a choice when a legion of hobbits walk into the bar? You're trying to have a pint, and this guy's disgusting feet are exposed? Stop it. So, save it for the damn beach. Damn it.
Torben Rolfson, thank you. You can wear your sandals to Wreck Beach and only your sandals to Wreck Beach.
Yeah. I had 100 likes and 99 of them were black guys, by the way, because black guys know better than to wear sandals. White guys. I'm so free.
Wow.
I'm in my sandals.
Really?
In a bar or in a restaurant. Ridiculous.
You're going to end the show
Cover
by putting down white people? Is that how we're ending the show
yes.
today?
Cover your disgusting feet.
All right. Well,
looks
I don't
great
quite
on
know
ladies.
What to say.
Sorry.
Looks
I
good
had
on
to
ladies,
do that.
Terrible on white
terrible.
People, black people know better.
Yes.
You're listening to the Kaufman Show. That pretty much sums it up for this week. We'll see you next week.
Listen up, kid. Not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davy and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
That's another Kaufman Show in the books. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next Monday night.
I don't know. What does that sound like?
This has been The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690. Ever.